I can leave if you like, or stay, he offered. No need to worry about security with me. I'm used to high security bashes. That's why I'm here. He gave a strong, calm smile, for our Carlyle had risen full of strength that day, March the 25th, the first day of the medieval new year, a festival of spring, as well as the feast of the Annunciation, a day on which men had honored their creator in many ways in ages past, and still do today. There must have been some little sign from red-faced Jew Wei Chun. A breath, a twitch, a glance. Reason insists there must have been, to prompt J.E.D.D. Mason's next words. Let the senseir stay. Their presence doubles confession's benefit. Occam turned, a precise, too energetic movement. His body beneath the bare skin tense, with that rare energy that reminds us humans once were predators. What? Confession addressed to you will heal the peace and your confusion, and perhaps your trust. But if a priest attends, confession will also lift weight from this sin-fearing person's wounded conscience. J.E.D.D. Mason's eyes rolled down to Captain Jew. Will this senseir suffice? If you prefer one with some formal ordination, my Dominic can serve. If he is found, or I could call Guiomar Capello. The name made both the captain and Carlyle twitch, since in our age of theological anonymity, no senseir is more widely suspected of being a secret Catholic than the personal senseir of the King of Spain. A baffled awe mixed with fear and shock on Jew Wei Chun's face, unlocking tears in the catharsis of deception's end. How did you know? That drove Carlyle to his feet. You can't, he cried, then paused, as if he was himself uncertain how to phrase his objection. You can't just say things like that, in front of people. J.E.D.D. Mason did not turn, but his black eyes rolled around to fix on Carlyle as when a too lifelike painting seems to track you across a room. You believe in non-interference. Is that not incompatible with benevolence? Carlyle went white, holding his wrap tight about himself, as if some trespassing gale had caught him wet and almost naked to the storm. No. Nothing changed in the visitor except his words. But I misunderstand. By can't, you did not question the possibility of my words. You meant I should not say such things under local human law. You are correct. I erred. I thought only to diminish present pain. But I concede and recognize that the laws and master of this house are not wrong to rank duty over pity. His eyes drifted to Occam. I apologize, Member Sinir, for this mismatch in the radii of our consequentialisms. The room fell silent. We are unaccustomed, reader, to words like his, which cut through the surface levels of our interactions to the reality beneath. Only Occam had the strength to smile. No need to apologize. It was a handy and original way to expose a conspiracy. Still no expression. Should I repeat the action? Conspirators are, by definition, plural. Fear touched every face but those of Occam and the tribunary guards. The master of the house phrased his invitation carefully. If Wei Chun has co-conspirators, I want to know it. One by one, the drill troops held their breath as J.E.D.D. Mason's dead eyes rolled across them. On the third, a slender Dutch Greenpeace Mitsubishi football player stationed by Cato's door, they stopped. Which karma do you want? He asked. It is hard to name the expression of abject contact, more shocked and intimate than fear, which seized her face. With slow and careful hands, she released the clasp which held her weapons belt and let the whole fall to the floor. Three others followed suit. Occam released a slow whistle, while Carlyle, tiptoeing forward from the sofa, gave a deeply shaken little gasp. Leslie texted, "Occam, I'm finally live with the president and Director Ondo. They say this drill was ordered by someone mid-ranked in our Mitsubishi backup. As a stupid plan for going after whoever has the canner device. Apologies are flying, and the president's in full-fledged righteous fury mode. Shall I add you to the call?" Occam, "Is anyone trying to defend or justify this debacle?" Leslie, "No." Occam, "Then no need yet." Sniper entered now with a humanist special guard. These 12 were all humanists by hive and birthbash, mostly natives of Cielo de Pajaros, proud of their commissions, excited by the drill, and even more excited now that something real was happening. Their calm faces and Sniper's presence eased Occam instantly, like sea spray in the heat of August. They also eased the 5 conspirators in a way, since surrender doesn't feel so real when you outnumber those you're trying to surrender to. Occam's quick orders sent the regular troops and secondary prisoners off to parts secure until the room was almost what he wanted. Trusted Sniper, trusted troops, the oddly forthright traitor Zhu Wei-chun, all in Occam's control save for the little sensei, this strange guest, and his honor guard. And Thisbe. Her arrival in Sniper's wake did not match Occam's orders, a fact which earned a twitch of irritation from his black brows. But he would not criticize a Bosch member in front of outsiders, nor would Thisbe, in any circumstance, admit why she had more reason than any of them to want to get the measure of this new intruder. "Hinc?" J.E.D.D. Mason began in Latin, but caught himself. "From this point," he translated, "do you desire help or privacy?" Occam smiled appreciation at the great Prince Tribune's deference. "I understand high politics is your thing. If you can sort out that end and leave me free to check my own security and deal with the supposed intruder, I'll be grateful. I don't know what the Mitsubishi are thinking right now, but I hear they trust you, and the last thing I need is hive execs in a tizzy thinking there's something wrong with my security." "Your security's vindication I shall undertake," he answered, inclining his head in confirmation of the pledge. Thisbe intruded her voice now as well as her presence. "The last thing we need is a public tizzy." J.E.D.D. Mason's gaze fell now upon Thisbe Sinir. "No one comes to stone the servant when they could watch the execution of the king." Sniper physically interposed himself between J.E.D.D. Mason and intruding Thisbe, and I think the distant Duke President would have been glad to know Sniper was so mindful of his warning. "I think we're okay on the public front. No one's here except our people, Mitsubishi people, and Cousin Foster. My Dominic may be here," J.E.D.D. Mason warned. "Have you seen him? He is perhaps your height, vicious, in dark costume, with a black law hiveless sash. I seek him. He was last seen here, but has gone stray." Occam and Thisbe did not remember observing that the guest used "he" for Dominic. It was too far from the strangest thing he did. "That's who it is," Cato Weeksbooth texted. He could hear all through the door. "In B block. They're on camera. Not now, almost an hour ago. The system didn't register it as an intruder, but there was somebody there. I was having trouble with the ID. It's that scary black law sensei." "Dominic Seneschal?" Occam said it aloud. "Dominic Seneschal works for you, Council Mason. Does that mean you work with Martin Guildbreaker?"
"Both Martin and Dominic are mine, yes. But Martin is well. It is Dominic who strays. His tracker has been off since he entered this house yesterday. When was he last sighted?"
"Tracker off since yesterday?" Here, reader, is your rare chance to see Sniper show fear. "Did anyone see Seneschal leave the house yesterday?
Then he texted, Leslie, did you? No, I last saw them near Thisbe's room. Glances flew between Occam and Sniper. Who else was here then?
I was,
Carlyle volunteered, stepping gently forward. I didn't see them leave either. But they couldn't stay in the house for 24 hours with no one noticing, right? Not in this house, with your security.
J.E.D.D. Mason's eyes turned back to Occam. While your case is mine, your gates will open for my Dominique.
Cato texted, Xiaohe Wang is right, Occam. Our system has the scary sensei registering with the same super-executive access privileges you do. More, they also have the back-end system editing privileges I do, and looks like they use them to clear records of themselves. You know the setting we use to make the system not record our secure meetings? They turned that on themselves. With this, they could wander anywhere, and the system would just delete the records. They may well have been in here all night.
Occam took a deep breath. This is intolerable, Council Mason. I know you and your team were chosen for your discretion, but this is 10 times as disruptive as the Black Sakura list turning up in the first place.
I agree, J.E.D.D. Mason answered. It is not tolerated. Dominique will be disciplined when found. They know this.
Carlyle says that even with the airy naturalness of J.E.D.D. Mason's tone, the word disciplined had an ominous sense of corporeality to it, invited by the familiaris armband with its reminder of Masonic force and the black law sash around Dominic's waist, proclaiming his renunciation of all protections of the law.
You have my promise and my apology, as one responsible for whom I send.
The apology eased Occam's scowl somewhat. You and Martin Guildbreaker have been reasonably helpful. Yourself, very helpful, in fact. But that fact gladdens me, he interrupted.
Good, but I don't want you coming here again unannounced. No one comes here unannounced, ever. Understood?
A pause. Factually untrue, but as a wish, I understand it, and shall endeavor to help it approach truth.
Occam took a moment to parse that one.
Good. And I want that black law out of my house and away from my Bosch mates, forever. Get them out of here, or I will.
He tapped his deadly sidearm, still in his hand for lack of the holster which rested upstairs with his other clothes.
Sniper joined the threat, tapping his own holster, though with a touch of frown, since what he carried was not deadly, or even elegant like the sport pistols he used for the pentathlon, but a common stun gun, unworthy in his hand like instant noodles on a gourmet's tongue.
These prayers I shall endeavor to grant. If I fail to prevent an altercation between yourselves and my Dominique, I should be infinitely grateful if you spared his life.
I wish J.E.D.D. Mason could have expression in his voice, emotion in his face, for moments like this when I'm sure the deadness of his request kept them from understanding how passionate a plea it was, how literal, how vast his fear when Dominic was threatened.
I am told my third was near here too, he continued.
He is shorter, in servicer uniform, full of guilt, cunning, and languages, and answers to Mycroft. I hoped he might have seen the stray.
Occam, Sniper, and even Carlyle looked to Thisbe.
I know who you mean, but Mycroft isn't here now, she answered. If I see them, I'll ask.
J.E.D.D. Mason moved his flesh again now, calm, precise steps back toward the narrow entrance hall.
I thank you for your hospitality.
You're leaving?
He did not turn, but his eyes found Sniper.
Your Occam tasked me to settle the high political concerns raised by this event. This I undertake. But you yourself do not want me here. If my Martin and Mycroft are more comfortable to you,
then henceforth let all my work within this house be theirs.